Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss Skeleton Crew, currently airing on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin. I am joined, as always, by my fellow spa enthusiast, Tony Sindelar is here. Hi, Tony.
Avast. Hello. Good to be here.
Typical spa talk from you. Yeah. Kat Benish is also here. Hi, Kat.
Absolute pleasure. And I'm going to say it now. Best episode of Star Wars TV ever.
Wow. Just see you later, Andor.
Yeah, take that, Tony Gilroy. Andor.
It was ridiculous. It was funny. It was enjoyable.
Your finely crafted metaphor about resisting a fascist government. No. Spas.
Did I run that adventure for you where there's a spa but things are bad?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, just checking.
The candlelight? No.
It was a candlekeep mystery. Yeah.
That was one. Yeah.
You went there through a book. That's how you know.
That's right. Yeah. We went to a lot of places.
What's new? Books can take you many places.
I like the spa one. Yeah. That was a good one.
We are here to discuss episode 5 of Skeleton Crew. You have a lot to learn about pirates. Who feels like recapping this one? Tony, you watched it twice.
I did watch it twice. Do you want the one sentence version or the longer than one sentence version?
I would settle for like 15 sentences.
All right.
Count your sentences.
Okay. Sentence one.
All right. Sentence one. Oh yeah. The kids have parents and they're looking into their disappearance.
Sentence two.
They wake Smee up and find out what the deal is with his past captain.
Three.
They head to the location of his past captain, Captain Renaud. I don't know if I'm saying that quite right. His lair, which is under, very Dungeons & Dragons name, Skull Ridge Mountain or something like that.
Four.
It's not a pirate lair anymore. It's been gentrified and is like a resort spa planet now.
Under new management.
Five.
Also, there's a banking clan conference there. Why would I use that? Why would I use one of my sentences on that? But people from Scipio are there.
Mm-hmm. It's always back to money. Six.
Kids aren't allowed. I don't know what kind of are there resorts where kids aren't allowed.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
100%.
Wow, I had no idea. I mean, obviously, A, I've never been to a resort, and B, I don't have kids. But is there a way that, well, I'm sidetracking. Is there a way that they could have a policy that says kids aren't allowed that doesn't sound like, what does that imply about what's going on?
It often is like an inclusive resorts to the Caribbean, that, or there are parts of resort that are not kids. So it's basically, there's a number of ways to interpret this. There's one way to interpret that I think is often like, as an adult, you don't want to be surrounded by screaming children. And so sometimes the adult only sections of resorts are to be like quiet, serene, mm-hmm. peaceful.
People talk about taxes and reading books.
Yeah. Colonoscopies, all those things.
Sipping tea.
I think the flip side of it is also, I think there's also, I have heard of more swinging types of clubs or swinging types of resorts.
You mean like 1920s jazz?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Okay.
This is apparently a really big thing.
I don't want to get mail about this.
There was a whole article in the New York Times recently, but I think Virgin's Cruise Line actually had a reputation for being like very swinger focused and really encouraged. Anyways, I digress. It's an interesting article. I recommend checking it out. If you're interested. It's just fascinating, like how a brand gets associated with a lifestyle. Dan is in so much pain right now. Anyways,
what sentence were we on?
It's either six or seven, and I'm stalling.
Kids are not allowed.
Let's say that was six, so you're on to seven now.
All right, the kids are not allowed, so they sneak in. There's a lot of D&D energy to this episode with people not having plans, squabbling over things, the quality of plans being not great. But the kids are smuggled in as elders wearing like basically miscellaneous pirate garb, and like I think someone's got a fake beard. There's definitely
that's
a hat
long
that is,
sentence.
Yeah. All right.
That's
anyway.
Seven and eight. You get nine.
Seven and eight. Nine. They need to bribe the spa lady generously to cover for how bad their disguises are, and a bounty hunter shows up. But she's like a Star Wars space Irish bounty hunter.
Nine. That was
she's
getting
Scottish.
Sentence ten.
Really? Okay,
you
whatever.
Kelly MacDonald.
She has played Irish characters.
Oh, okay. She's very Scottish.
You can't just using and but. Eventually, I'm going to call that sentence complete.
That's a run-on sentence. It's still a sentence.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm trying to think about which of Kelly MacDonald's roles are Scottish and which are Irish.
That's how you want to spend your 10th sentence?
We just talked about swingers on cruise lines.
Yeah, I don't understand what gets critiqued as valid, a complicated profession content and what doesn't. So they're looking for the pirate hideout. It's hidden under a thing. They eventually find it. There's multiple running from guards.
Okay,
and there's
11
a scary...
and 12. You're like, yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. Unless you're doing like liberal use of M and N dashes, like that is, those were clear clauses with no connectors.
It could have been a semicolon.
Yeah.
They find the secret lair. It's full of traps and plunder and all kinds of cool stuff.
And
Jod takes that moment to turn on them all. I realize that I heavily weighted up my
beginning of
the 15 minutes of the episode.
This is like 15. Every time I try to write a sign. You get big letters, and then you get to the end, and you're like, oh no, I've run out of space.
No more of the banking convention.
15 sentences is tricky, because it seems like a lot, and then, then you get like 9 in, and you're like, oh, I better wrap things up.
Gotta get to the plot.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I love this because this to me, going back to the conversation we're having in the last episode, like, how do you do Goonies in Star Wars? This to me was like pure Goonies. Like,
this was
especially
very Goonies.
In the end when they're going through, for those Goonies, like, it's like half it's spent in an underground tunnel and they find pirate treasure. Like, literally felt like the set was grabbed from Goonies. At the end. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
So especially when they have Renard's ghost showing, and he looks like a pirate. Like, legitimately
have
looks
you seen
like a pirate.
His ship and the stuff on his ship.
I will say, I think I like this episode. I think it's fun. I think this episode does a pretty good, you know, we have talked multiple times about kid show versus family show. I thought this was hitting that family show vibe.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. I think especially, I will put in my notes here, key family show moment. What's a concubine?
What's a concubine? I laughed very hard at that. Jude Law does some great facial work there where he thinks about trying to explain it.
And he's like, story time's over. Yep. No, that's a good, they're hitting there. I did feel like maybe like the idiot dial for the kids was like a little bit like, did they eat an entire birthday cake before wandering onto this planet?
There was a buffet.
But they never got there because they were just like about, I don't know, they went from, it felt like last episode they were all
horrors
like a little depressed.
Yeah.
The horrors of war. And this world, they're like, no, everything's great. Let's go to the buffet. Let's fight about who's going to pair with who for the searching. You know, we're standing in front of a hotel place where we're supposed to be elders and we're like punching each other or having a pillow fight or something. I don't know.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair. I was like,
it mainly felt like perhaps thematically a little inconsistent with the previous episode.
That is totally fair.
Totally fine, I think, in the context of this episode. So
I had forgotten that the one before this was about the horrors of war, so I think you're absolutely right. That is a little somewhat flash there. I also really enjoyed that we a couple things that I really enjoyed from this. Like, one is we finally got explained who Renard was, right? They dropped Renard's ghost in the first or second episode, and I googled it. I was like, it's literally the only person in, like, put up in a video game is like, I have no idea what this was. So it was really nice to have that callback. And then two is I totally called when they called it, was it, what was it? Not Skull Manor, Skull Island.
Skull Ridge.
Mountain is like, okay, with a name like that, like, I'm sure right now it has been totally gentrified into condos and they get there. And then it worked out exactly as I expect, and I love that. I love, like, they had to turn it like that.
It has many names. The Demon's Rest, Battle World, and Lanupa,
yeah.
Nick Frost does some fantastic work throughout this entire episode about being upset about all the changes to the...
And his restraining bolt. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Nope, there's some very good work there.
Spectacular.
I feel like not being able to act on violence somehow made him much more violent than his previous... I don't know. He just seems ready to, like, tear anybody limb from limb. He's ready to go.
The other thing I was going to say is I actually really appreciated that this... we talk a lot about the financial system of the galaxy in this, and I'm really glad, that we got an explanation of what in the world could the treasury be. And
was so important. It made it into my recap.
Yeah. It was like, no, totally makes sense. That would be very valuable. I'm a little surprised you can't forge it, but okay, sure. But let's pretend there's a good reason. And I was like, that would completely make sense that these were all the homes of the mints.
Yeah.
I'm willing
I like
to,
that a lot.
You know, again, I think we've like, how does money work in the future? In the world of Star Wars in the past. Yeah, a long time ago. And it does seem to be that, you know, they reinforce. I felt like this episode did a lot because we're kind of at the midway point of like, yeah. And like, we're not sure how closely you've been paying attention. So we're going to play a lot of notes again. Like, we're going to remind you that Old Republic credits are important. John's going to do multiple things with maybe the Force, maybe not, just to remind you about that. Like, we're going to play some of the notes that we played a couple episodes ago, just in case you have forgotten about those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my headcanon, the mint, the Old Republic credits, it seems like they must be made out of a precious metal to have retained any value. And so maybe it's like Fort Knox, and they've got all the stuff there. Still unclear what their jobs are.
But analyzing money.
Analyzing money. There's that scene where there's an Athorian in the background who's either playing Minesweeper or working a spreadsheet.
Well, have you seen Severance, Tony?
Yes.
Whatever they're doing as analysts had real Severance vibes.
Yes,
like,
it did.
Matching the numbers.
The CRT screens do a lot of that work there. Mm-hmm. Also, that is a real dystopian office. You've got the half cube with the transparent wall, and it's shared with someone else.
Also,
and there's a droid with a gun hanging out nearby.
Watching you at all times to make sure you are not doing...
If you plug in any peripherals, you're like, I just needed to charge my MP3 player. That robot is
don't even
not
think
it.
About checking social media on your workstation. No.
I enjoy the scene at the beginning where they're on the planet and, you know, where the drawn out, like I was 50% willing to believe that the droid was going to be faked out by him showing his hands one of the time.
That was fun.
I enjoyed that as a bit. I think this episode is high on the comedy value.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of bits that
might seem dumb,
but kind of really work. I greatly enjoy the scene where they realize in the first level of booby traps that the people have all been decapitated.
A penitent pirate
must pass. Yes, Jod and SM-33 have to duck, and the kids literally do not have time. Had they been a hair taller, would have been decapitated, but it is a great bit.
No, it's great. They show us a trap that is irrelevant, where just a guard gets shoved into it by a pirate. There's the anti-grav pit trap.
Yep.
Which is cool, but so much more expensive to install than just a traditional pit trap.
That's right.
But that's what you're expecting.
I put the spikes in the ceiling. That's right. No one ever looks at the ceiling.
And fill an entire room with acid. So expensive and extravagant.
The number of skeletons that were in that acid. I did like that you had to give a treasury. And it's like, wasn't life. Life was cheap for them. Throwing in the battery was great.
Give your money.
No.
And then I also appreciate the show, the family show, and that's occasionally a little darker, is that he just refills it with acid.
A lot of screaming.
And even not just screaming, they yell acid in what felt like something I would say as a dungeon master narrating an NPC off camera. It's not just yelling in pain; it's yelling in pain that explains the exact thing happening.
Expositional
to you.
Pain, as you, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of solid work in this episode. I like all the stuff with the buffet and the jokes about that. You know.
A hut eats a guy.
Who says not again?
Not again. Which implies also, and then like the fake outs too. With his name isn't Cthulhu, but it's essentially Cthulhu.
Cthulhu has really strong anagram energy.
Cthulhu scallops.
Yeah. You know? But again, I think this episode it follows the same routine several times of it. What's the word? Inverts exactly what you expect to happen, and it's delightful.
No, lots of bits. You know, it kind of makes me wish that the previous episode followed that. It just they kind of don't feel like the same. I mean, very different tone.
Well, Doctor Who has that too, right? They alternate between very happy and very intense. And
I think this episode follows a little better on the first two.
I would agree.
I think the third one really put a wrench in trying to do something that was perhaps a little too serious. Mm-hmm. You know, where I don't know. Yeah, there's some great character moments in that, but this one feels more tonally of peace with the first two.
Yeah.
It's got, like I said, lots of good comedy moments, good adventure and fun, like Indiana Jonesy moments where we're like going through the booby traps and all that, and like running around the spa. Got to punch a guy in the face at one point, you know.
Got to spray mud on people so they harmlessly fall into a pool of mud.
Are you a professor? You're a professor. Yeah. I like Kat joked, your joke during while we watched it was something like they're going to make him give a lecture. Well,
when
on
they thought he was named, I thought there was the joke was going to be that we think you're like you're up to give the banking keynote.
Yeah.
And I was really looking forward to that, but they didn't go that direction.
Instead, they just immediately crumble.
Jod picks up another name.
Yes.
Dash Zentin, I believe.
Which sounds like...
Dash Rendar is a...
Rendar.
Is a EU character, yeah. There's a fun... There's a little bit of fun
And they
stuff.
Even... They make fun of him for having too many names.
He does. He has a ridiculous number of names.
Well, don't we also get the story of what... I think it's like... Can we take a second to talk about what is the story of what happened to Renan? Because I feel like there are two... I was under the impression that Renan crashed lands on the planet, but we get told he was killed by his crew and concubine, right?
But he had put the coordinates in to crash them, basically.
Right. But I think... did we ever actually... We're sure. I think the question is like one thing that Dan has repeatedly pointed out is we never saw Renan's face. We still haven't met the supervisor. So
it did seem, I was a little bit like, why are you hiding his face in the conspicuously blurry hologram recording? Yeah. Because I assume it's not someone we've seen before. Maybe it's someone we are going to see before we find out.
Or is the explanation that the kids have seen the supervisor and wouldn't recognize them as Renna potentially?
No one, unclear. And there was a little bit of talk about the supervisor this episode in terms of, you know, how unavailable they are.
And how they're not going to help. And like the fact that, you know, the parents are willing to go behind, you know, the back of the supervisor, etc. I thought there was a nice bit here with Jod and Wim.
Yeah.
Where at the beginning of the episode where Wim is, you know, has a bit of a his own crisis of conscience because he just wants to go home and the adventure is not super fun. And Jod gives him a lecture about why you shouldn't have any attachments.
Actually, the talk about that was, I think, the language. Jod is horrible with children.
Bad advice giver in general.
But the that line, I think, was very cool. I think two things. One, we saw Jod use force power. So again, strongly implies that what we saw earlier was not he is not a practicing Jedi, but he has access to the Force.
So,
and the commentary about attachments implies that he may have been trained as a Jedi at one point.
It's specific wording. You're not going to drop that wording without significant, you know.
I am still suspicious of his Force powers because I feel like they're all... I don't know. There's such a... He just does the same kind of thing over and over again that I'm waiting for some kind of like, oh yeah, I just have like a magnet glove or something. I don't know. And I, again, in my low quality
recap, imprisoned him and did not take away his magnet glove, Tony. That's the one thing. Well, we'll let him keep that. What can he possibly do with that?
I don't know. He does pick up a lightsaber at the end of this, which was perhaps significant. A moment so important, it was clearly in my recap, and we just forgot about that.
I did enjoy Wim. You could tell it was going to happen.
Upside down.
Upside down. So good.
That could have gone a lot
so
worse.
Much worse.
we should mention Jod's heel turn, which you did cover in your recap. Do we all know this was coming? Of course. We all knew this was coming.
I thought he was not going to turn. I thought he was going to be pressured to turn, but like Heart of Gold would overcome it.
I think that will still be the end of this. Like, he'll eventually have to make a choice when we're confronted with Renan / the supervisor of whether he's going to take the treasure or save the kids. And I think he will choose to save the kids. But,
you know, I feel like he attempted to do it as nonviolently as the pirate code allows, I feel like, you know, again, we learned he has more names, there's a bounty out on them. I feel like it really reinforces that, like, you know, this is a guy who has made a lot of poor choices over his career, is a word to use. Also, do you get to collect a bounty just for calling in where a guy is and questions about the state of bounty hunting?
I think you get like a tip off, perhaps like a tip off
a percentage.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm claiming the bounty. And I'm like, is he in handcuffs behind you? I don't think so. I'm at the same resort as him. Give me some money.
Questions on how close were they? Because again, the werewolf gets there pretty darn, Brutus gets there pretty far, darn fast.
Yeah. But I the one thing I liked about the heel turn was that it was darker than I expected it to be. It wasn't like, it feels like a legit betrayal. I mean, especially when he's got like a dagger at Fern's throat.
And a child's throat. Yeah. And also, and she's like, she does the thing. She's like, we are children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to find us. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And he has, like, you're being a very, very bad person right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You which know? You need, I mean, I think you need to have that sort of questionable level of moral flexibility to be this character. Yeah. That he's clearly, you know, betrayed a lot of people, been betrayed a lot. I enjoyed that. I thought it was well done. I do have some questions about Wim's escape plan, because, again, no, that, spikes.
That, that, no, that, that pit's fine. I like the it's like, the stool is trapped, but there's also like a fake pot roast. It's, you know, it's like, did a Disney Imagineer build this place? Like, what's going
on? It has very strong Chewie in Return of the Jedi picking up the rope trap creature. Yeah, so as you point out, we're like halfway, just past the halfway point. Three episodes left to go. It feels like there's still a decent amount of ground. So
who has the actual coordinates now? It's Jod?
Jod?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because it was in the data port. Or did they didn't take it, right? He had
I think it's in Smee's memory, basically. Smee was accessing the
computer. Oh, that's right. Yes. Smee.
And he has him turn the acid off. There's even the weird thing where he has him cut off the, like, the, it's the log, and the captain is talking about, you know, my crew doesn't believe in me, blah blah blah, and Jod says, like, that's enough, and then and that's when he invokes the pirate code, and so we didn't necessarily get the whole log entry.
My crew doesn't believe in me, but I gave them a motivational speech and I think they're coming around.
So three more episodes left then to do you think episode they'll get to? No, probably two more episodes.
I think that's the penultimate episode. Yeah, I feel like we've got an episode of them trying to, like, they got to get back to the ship. By the way, the ship has a name now that we're more than halfway through the show, the Onyx Cinder.
We
Onyx
knew
Cinder.
That earlier from it was a Lego.
Only, you could see it only in the from Legos. Materials. It was also on I read about it on the StarWars.com had an article about production design of all the things, and they mentioned it in there, too.
But I love the part where it lands on the planet, like, just, like, stuff falls off of it, and they're like, call the containment people. It seems like you got to have, like, basically at least one or more episodes where Jod's headed for the treasure and kids are headed for the treasure on their own, and a bit of a race, right? And I don't know, maybe kids, I don't know how the kids are going to, there's one ship. So either Jod's on his own with Smee, or
there's two sets of pirates too.
And the kids could throw in with the pirates now. So it feels like
they could also call the owl friend. We've been waiting to pull that as well.
I would be surprised if we see owl friend again.
Phone an owl. Even the bounty hunter was nice to them. Like, don't trust this guy.
I mean, multiple people say don't trust this guy. Yeah. That's like the one thing that Cthulhup's like walrus squid guy, right, who's Cthulhup's like, also. I just enjoy stories, but don't trust that guy.
I did enjoy that was sort of Wim's moment of, like, you know, he's read all the adventure stories and everything, and he gets to relate the story and has his little moment of, I saved us from this guy. I don't know, bashing us. I want it. I do want to commend Kelly McDonald, as we were talking about. I really love Kelly McDonald. I did not we had that moment
I knew her. I recognized
the
her
voice, but I couldn't like
she's
picture
she's brave
her.
And brave. You know.
That's true. She's the voice of Merida.
Ah.
In Brave.
Who's brave?
Who's brave? She's, in Brave.
She's the titular Brave.
I just thought you were naming, like, there's a TV show called Brave and Brave, and I'm like, that sounds like a stupid show, but now I know what you're saying.
Dan would watch that. It's like, 100%. It's like a spy. Like,
I was thinking it's like Blue Sky. It's the same year as this. Oh, what's that stupid show you watch with, like, the dad who's in, that goes back to the small town and he's a doctor and it's like always snowing there?
First of all, it's Everwood. Second of all, it's not a stupid show.
Sorry.
That was very judgmental.
Is this the personal
attacks on Dan section of the podcast? I thought we don't usually compartmentalize those into a segment. But I have a list of grievances.
Okay. So you're waiting? You're waiting for an opening?
No, I'll send
it was not a stupid show.
I'll send them in through mail.
Okay, great. I'll read them in the mail on our own show. That seems yep. like a thing I'll definitely do. Shall we move on to sure. mail?
I set you up for a transition there. Yeah.
As a reminder, you can email us at acp@theincomparable.com or find us on Mastodon. We are at acp@zeppelin.flights. All right, so Chris writes in, Ray, the latest episode of Skeleton Crew, and I think this is a reference to last week's episode. What if the Civil War was kicked off at Akron when SM-33's crew showed up and raided the tower? It's a possibility.
Oh, interesting.
Possibility. I mean, I guess it seems like they've been going there all along.
We don't know what the time period is. That's the thing.
But that actually would be super interesting that all the other planets were destroyed because
the pirates went looking for the treasures.
Yeah. But if they all had mints, that implied that the mints had been taken back and maybe just like the planets had been abandoned.
Do they all have mints or maybe they made different things? Like maybe Akron made like.
Kat, you know more about infrastructure. What are the eight things society needs after money?
Food.
Yeah, but
yes, Dan, this is the food planet.
Well, no. But if it was like
bread basket,
if it had like a seed bank, right, that could be incredibly valuable to national security. One has all like the nuclear warheads, sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say because you do get a lot of like this is our Los Alamos research base in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
vibes from some of these.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory. Maybe we still don't know
there
how
could be one. Actually, here I'll take Dan's idea and make it Star Warsy. It's not Rhodes. Here's the place where they put together all the like hyperspace maps that they publish. Rhodes.
Where we're going.
The Cartographers Guild or something.
Yeah.
Or the... it's not astronavigation. Astrogation?
Yeah. It's the same word. Just drop a syllable.
The Astrogation Guild.
Mm-hmm. Which is separate from the Astro Irrigation Guild.
Yeah, which is also separate from the Astro Irritation Guild, which is the people get annoyed about astrogation.
Yep.
Aaron writes,
Hi, Aaron.
You mentioned that Haina, who is the girl from last week's episode, gave Neil a stranger food while other Troik children were seemingly going hungry on the rooftop of the school. I think the food was reserved for those who can fight, and the sickly-looking kids had to do less or without. It's also possible, given how quickly Haina warmed to Neil's, quote, natural masculine charm, unquote, that she might have given him her rations for the day. Merry Christmas.
Because okay. Neil is also not a fighter, just so we're clear. But
I like that idea that it's like, you can't fight, no bad. Food for you.
Yeah, their culture's still bad. But that is a reasonable headcanon.
Tact writes in, are you guys choosing not to talk about Bunky Dunko or just weren't aware of it? Now, there's a YouTube video attached to this. I am now very familiar with Bunky Dunko. Bunky Dunko is, so if you recall, during the trailer for Skeleton Crew, they did a version of the song Major Tom in Huttees was the background of that. It was like, it's basically an 80s German song, like pop new wave. I don't know if that's the right description. And so they did the entire song in Huttees and did a music video of it, which you can find on YouTube. It's official. You can find it from the Star Wars channel.
I had excellent. No knowledge of this. Okay.
It's very, very good. I think it may be, I have listened to both the German and English versions of this song now. And I think the Huttees version is my favorite.
I am familiar with the German and English version of the Major Tom Coming Home song. I did not know there was a Huttees version.
It's in the trailer.
So.
Yeah, it's in I don't know the first trailer, but like the first big trailer where they have the it starts with Fern and Wim sitting outside the principal's office, basically. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's a really good trailer. It's a really good music video. I enjoy that they took the time. It references. It's nice because the lyrics are on the screen as they're singing about it, and it references At Atten. It references Wim. What is it saying the rest of the time? It's gibberish. But it's catchy. It's a beat, and you can dance to it. Anyways, thank you, Tact. I'm glad that you have introduced this. I'll add a link to the show notes for those who can't find it, but it's pretty great.
Somehow I was living without any Punky Ducko in my life, and if you can call that living.
I meant to check to see if I could find a version of it in, like, Apple Music or something, too.
It said originally it was on Skullify, was the poster they made. I thought it was cute.
That's pretty good. Solid work.
Pirate music streaming service.
Alas, Punky Ducko is not in the Apple Music directory, so I'll have to acquire a version. Jolin writes...
Hi, Jolin.
Here's my contribution to one of the completely off-topic sub-themes of ACP, which I love. You don't need a Windows PC to play The Secret of Monkey Island. I played the Mac version all those years ago and have replayed it on modern Mac. You can, of course, use something like Sheep Shaver to emulate an old Mac, but even better, Scum VM, which allows a native way to play the classic LucasArts and Sierra games. We had numerous people write this in. To which Matthias, who's the next letter, says, "Hi, my favorite Monkey Island podcast. You most likely are aware, but in case not, you can play Monkey Island in pretty much every platform with Scum VM."
I'm aware of Scum VM. I should have further investigated it. I'll be honest, I didn't know that they had a Mac client for it, so that is good to know.
So
all of our listeners should be able to play Monkey Island and report in with questions.
And I assume we will do our bonus episode about Monkey
Island. Do that. It seems like a fun game.
Does that require Kat to play Monkey Island?
I can do that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can play at least 5 minutes of it. And give opinions.
One email from... Oh, sorry.
Is there a thing where people play a text adventure as a group of three? And just shout at each other about what they're doing.
Tony, do you not remember our experiences in like junior high school and high school video games when you had to? There was literally no other way to play games together.
The simpler time when we only had one computer. Well, we could do that.
Speaking of which, Ben writes in.
Hi, Ben.
This is titled "Question for Kat."
I'm ready.
In the Secret of Monkey Island game, I'm stuck trying to figure out the safe combination. Can you provide a clue on how to obtain it?
I think the answer is that if you need to ask for a clue, it probably means that you're not ready to open it yet. So I'd go back and do the previous two levels.
You were very good up until the end.
Is that not true?
I remember the exact solution because my brain is broken.
Also, please let everyone know that there are iPhone and iPad versions of Monkey Island. I think we talked about this last time. I thought that
there's a challenge. There was, and it got, for whatever reason, some rights thing lapsed, and you can't get it in the iTunes store anymore. So I did play a remaster of it on the iPad probably 15 years ago, and probably many other people did too and are thinking of that. But what's sad is that you were like, oh, and I want to do that today, or I want my dear friend Kat Benish, who I do a Star Wars podcast with, to experience this pirate themed adventure and know what that's like, you cannot. It seems like Scum VM is a thing that you
and
have
it,
to explore.
It's a text based game.
It is no, not. It is a point and click graphic user interface. It's one of those you click on verbs and do stuff. So it's like, you know, look at this thing, pick up this thing, talk to this person. But it is a graphical adventure.
And to be clear, I think we've discussed this. Scum VM is also available on the iPad and I believe iPhone.
Interesting.
So you
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Is that a new thing because of emulators now?
Emulators.
So basically my information was only relevant during a certain window that has passed. Yeah. Also, to answer that question that was asked, perhaps you need to see somebody else open the safe in order to know what the safe combination is.
Ooh.
Welcome to our Secret of Monkey Island podcast.
Do you guys remember?
Where I provide slightly unreliable things that you could learn from a walkthrough. Does GameFAQs still exist? Probably.
Before all this existed, like the internet existed, I remember my brother had a Super Mario magazine that had sheets
Nintendo
and codes for how to figure things out and navigate it.
Nintendo Power. Yeah,
Nintendo Power. I had a subscription to that for sure.
Kids have it so easy nowadays. Just Google it.
Yep.
Jay writes in.
Hey, Jay.
Skeleton Crew Conspiracy Corner. First off, happy holidays and season greetings to Kat and Tony and Dan, all my fellow listeners of A Complicated Profession. Hope everyone is having a wonderful festive period. Second, I'm still loving Skeleton Crew. It was awesome how, after episode 4 last week, any post I saw on Facebook or threads that mentioned at Atten would have a slew of replies all saying, can't say I remember no Atten.
It's fun to talk like a pirate.
It is.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Yeah, so why limit it to one day a year is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For me, at least, each week, there's exactly the right mix of humor and action and story progression, and they're very good picking up where to stop each episode. Leaves me yelling at my computer to bring next week around sooner. I keep seeing posts on social media saying the show is boring or nothing happens to move the story, etc., etc., but by now I'm pretty sure these posts are just trolls who aren't actually watching the show. They said the same things with Ahsoka and The Acolyte, but
well,
I think they just got...
It was true for Ahsoka.
I think they just got lucky that those shows had their flaws. A stuck troll can be right twice a year, it seems, but not this time around.
I don't, it's an impressive thing where nobody hates Star Wars more than people who pretend to like Star Wars. It's just,
it's very Catholic. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's not, inaccurate, but still.
Dan apologized to all our Catholic listeners.
Dan, you're not wrong, but it's unkind to say.
I'm sorry. I apologize. And lastly,
not wrong, just unkind.
That's what it says on my business card. And lastly, I was going to suggest that maybe Jod was the grown-up version of the kid we'd seen at one of the other shows or movies that uses the Force to pick up a broom and start sweeping. I believe he's referring to the end of episode 8.
I think that kid hasn't been born yet.
I was quite pleased with that notion because the kid is never mentioned ever again. It would be an example of how just because he had Force abilities and bumped into some heroes as a kid, he still grows up to be a person of dubious or at least flexible morality, not guaranteed to become a holier-than-thou Jedi. But then that kid scene is at the end of The Last Jedi, which takes place 25 years after Skeleton Crew. So unless there's some timey-wimey shenanigans going on, it doesn't work.
Also, if you watch the mid-credits scene, they show that kid has a glove that is only good for picking up brooms from a distance.
Oh, he has a wood magnet?
Yeah,
wood magnet. Oh, yeah. It's only brooms and zumbops. It's a very specific magnet.
I guess I am destined to be a janitor, a space janitor with amazing powers.
A witch?
Yeah. Yes, lots of witches ride mops. That's true. I'm glad they haven't revealed Jod's backstory yet. I'm really enjoying the not knowing if he's a failed Jedi, a failed Sith, or just a Force-sensitive person who was able to make use of the skill to make his way to being a pirate captain. Anyway, happy life day to one and all.
Was there a Monkey Island question in there?
There wasn't. Would you like to make up one, or...?
No, what is your favorite Monkey Island game of all the games you played of them?
This is hard. The Secret of Monkey Island is the first one is, it's definitely kind of a classic. I have a soft spot for The Curse of Monkey Island, which is Monkey Island 3, which has full voice. It's like CD-ROM era, so it has full voice and kind of cartoon level animated qualities to it. But probably the original would be, it's the one to go to. It is tricky. There's a lot of Monkey Island games out there made by different people. Some of them are not good. I have not played all the ones after Monkey Island 4.
Are you, as the protagonist of Monkey Island, are you a pirate or are you essentially like a Jim Hawkins kind of character?
You start off as an aspiring pirate and then are later, I guess, a legitimate pirate that no one respects or fears. So your name is Guybrush Threepwood. You want to be a pirate.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
We just discussed how fun it is to talk like them.
It's gonna be real confusing when we get to Andor and we're still talking like pirates.
Andor.
Really trying to find that second R in Andor.
I was delighted as I was reused. I've been watching the Netflix show Black Doves, which I've been enjoying, and there's a character in there who is essentially a broker for hitmen, and staring at this, like little old lady
very
who
petite.
Has this very specific like Cockney accent or whatever, and
she's also terrifying. Like she is a terrifying,
terrifying woman. And I looked up and realized that she was Cyril Karn's mother, and was like, this makes sense.
It works
now.
Really well.
I was just watching. I don't know if you've watched Bad Sisters season 2, but
yes.
Fiona Shaw.
Yes, I know she's in it.
Very different character than she is in Andor.
Yeah.
So
she's a very versatile actress.
She is, very.
I did mention, I don't remember if I mentioned that. This episode was directed by Jake Schreier this week, who's the director of the upcoming Thunderbolts for Marvel.
Asterisk.
Thank you.
Who wrote this episode?
I believe all the episodes are this one. Actually, this one's credited to Myung Jo Wesner, who I do not know any of their prior work.
Have they done? I was saying I thought it was excellent. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I wonder. I mean,
she was the spelling bee champion of Rolla, Missouri.
Ooh,
good for her.
Last week or like?
No, I don't think that was it.
Wow, she only has 3 writing credits on Wikipedia. They're all for TV shows. In the last year, 2 of them I am not familiar with. High Potential and Death and Other Details.
She wrote Death and Other Details? Show was extremely mixed. That was the one with Mandy Patinkin on the boat.
Okay.
Parts of that show were really good, and then it kind of...
It went on like 3 episodes too long and got really weird.
Good writing, though, actually.
It's
very good dialogue, lots of fun characters, great production value, but the plot just suddenly took a left turn, and you're like,
this
is too much.
That's rough with something that's a murder, might have a murder mystery.
Yes, that's part of the problem.
That's always hard.
Great cast.
It was really fun. It was
Raul Coley is in it, who I love.
Who's that?
And he was the owner of the boat.
Oh, yeah.
But he's been in a bunch of other stuff, including iZombie.
Dan, have you watched his horror stuff?
No, I just don't do horror.
I've watched several horror things that he's in, and I don't do horror, but like, he's really good.
He's a great actor. He was in the, was rumored to be in the running to play Ezra Bridger.
Mm.
Is he a little too old now?
He's probably a little too old. But he's great.
Sorry, I mean, you know, you're great. But
I hope they find a Star Wars thing for him someday.
And I was like, he's probably younger than us, and he is younger than us. But none of us.
Most people are.
We're none of us.
Yeah, most people are.
Yeah,
yeah. None of us are in contention to play Ezra Bridger, especially at this game. At this point, it's pretty locked in.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, she's also credited with next week's episode for what it's worth.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's
next
fun.
Week's episode will be directed by Bryce Dallas Howard,
excellent.
Who is obviously done.
We love that.
Pacement everything. The remaining two are directed by Lee Isaac Chung, who did Minari and Twisters, which is fun double thing to say in one sentence. He previously directed Mandalorian episode in season 3, though.
Right. Do we know who the writer is? Yeah.
The last two are by Christopher Ford and John Watts, who are the writers for every other episode of
okay,
the show.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That should be, I will say it's one of those like, well, I'm optimistic for Thunderbolts asterisk after seeing this. Do we know why it's an asterisk at the name of the end of it?
It's implied to be a thing, but it's unclear
we don't know yet
as to why.
Why? All right, fair enough.
It might be the Thunderbolts and Bob.
And Bob.
I have no idea. I'm making it up. Right, what do I know?
We don't know.
I don't know.
I think that's all we got, unless other people
No, it's
on
a
the
good
show.
Loved it.
Say. Yeah.
If you didn't like it, I'm sorry. That's
it's your problem.
Everyone has their own taste. That's fine.
The ACP guarantee.
Yeah, we don't make the episodes, so do not write to us with that information.
But write to say hi. What do you think? Conspiracy corners.
Yeah, please send us mail. We enjoy mail. I got a very nice. I guess I can give a shout out. Even though he didn't technically mail me, my cousin texted me to say he enjoys the podcast. So,
hi
Tim, if you're listening,
please redirect that to the official mail.
You too can channels text are Dan. Important. His cell phone number is.
Please, no, not again.
555 Star Wars.
I kind of want that number now. Maybe that feels like if I ever.
Dan, you'll notice the number of digits in Star Wars is not
it's great.
Super. All right.
If we ever need to rebrand the podcast, the name will become 555 Star Wars, which makes about as much sense as A Complicated Profession.
I do, you know, I mean. I avoid doing any guerrilla marketing for our podcast because I don't want to bother anyone because I'm great at self-promotion. But occasionally people ask me, don't you have a Star Wars podcast? What's the name of it? And I'm like, oh, God. Is this? I mean, I can answer that question, but inevitably there's several more questions after that. And, you know.
Well, here we go.
It's easy to say, like, nah, I'll issue
this challenge. Yeah, there you go. Come up with a better name for our podcast.
No,
I'm not saying we'll change it. I'm not saying we'll change it, but I want to hear what your pitches are.
And 555 Star Wars has already been submitted.
So don't take that one.
Moonlight Express with Kat and Dan and sometimes Tony.
I believe that
I forgot I was on the podcast for a second.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
I was just checking, but I think we're coming up. This is episode 94. So we're coming up on episode 100.
We might as well stop now then.
Stop all we're behind?
Yeah, well, it's mid-season. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying. Episode 100, that's when you change the name of the show.
I think we're doing Andor, though, because we're... Yeah.
We'll be mid-Andor at that point.
Are you even a podcast if you don't abruptly just cut your feed and are never seen from again?
I think that's it for this week, but we'll be back next week. You can count on that. And until then, I would like to thank everybody out there for listening, especially our members who support us in the incomparable.com/members. Hey, it's almost the new year. What a great time to become a member of the Incomparable.
Yeah.
Right at the end of the year.
Great time for resolution.
Why do you laugh in the middle of your own self-promotion?
Because I realized I have no rationale for this.
No. And you should have a New Year's resolution to listen to more Star
Wars podcasts.
Give
money to more people.
Or buy more shirts.
Yeah.
But thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate your support. It means a lot to us. And of course, I would like to thank my co-hosts for being here. Tony Sindelar, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan and Kat.
Kat Benish, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Tony and Dan.
This got weird. thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll be back next week with the anti-penultimate episode of Skeleton Crew.
Is that a real word?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
I've already taken crap for it on another show. So
it's real. It's just we don't encourage it.
But astrogation.
Until then, may the force be with you.
Sometimes.
And with you.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.